For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my co-host, Joe DeLeon. Good evening, good sir.
Blake, you ready to argue about quarterbacks?
Joe, we got a lot of the same quarterbacks in there. I think that there's
okay,
only...
Okay, wait. We did this with offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, and head coaches where we came in, and I was like, you ready to argue? And then you said, oh, they're all the same. And then we ended up arguing with one another.
But we had vastly different opinions, though.
Yeah, that's my point. I think that
we're not very far. I think you do have one quarterback in your top five that, quite honestly, I'm surprised that you have in there.
I'm trying to think who. Quinn? Quinn
Ewers? Yeah, is that who it is? Rhymes with sewers.
All right, come on now. I'm actually surprised you didn't put him in there. I also don't appreciate the rug pull you threw at me. A couple hours ago when I was, you know, half asleep trying to put these graphics together, you said to me, Garrett Nussmeier is your number three, which is probably the most ridiculous thing that you could have done. The guy started
I put in Connor Weigman. I was like, all right, he really is going to know that I'm just messing around.
Well, and Weigman, I know that you like, so like I could kind of see the argument like we texted about, but it's a little risky. Nussmeier is ridiculous, though. That's, you know.
Well, I gotta be real with you. Uh-huh. There is one quarterback on your list that I think I can make the argument with Nussmeier about. And I think that we do have to have a very serious conversation. Both of them are both the quarterbacks on both of our lists, by the way. Mm-hmm. I got a hot take. I think it's shit or get out of the pot for Shedeur Sanders.
I think
he's a really good quarterback. But here's the thing though, Joe. I mean, it's like if he were anybody else and any other quarterback was doing what he was doing on a losing football team, what would we say?
Well, I think that's a great point that he has to be. I mean, obviously, he is a very highly talked about guy, and he is a very, I don't want to say controversial, but he is a name that certainly sparks a wide range of opinions because of the play doesn't match the success on the field for the whole team. So I agree with you that the expectations are high, as they should be, with all the attention that he, his father, the whole team have gotten. They got to win more games than they did last year. They don't need to go 10-2, but they need to win, you know, more than four football games.
Correct. And I think that they can. I think the Big 12 is a lot easier. I think they're going into an easier conference. Yes. I do think that they will be bowl eligible. And so good on them. But look, even though I believe that that's going to happen, I am not 100% sure. So Joe and I will debate on our top five quarterbacks in college football. Also, is Penn State in a little bit of trouble, Joe, losing a top wide receiver? Do they have guys on the outside that they can compete in the Big Ten?
Yeah, Keandre Lambert-Smith is expected to enter the transfer portal. And those who are familiar with Penn State know that he was one of the better, not the far and away best receiver in that offense, but one of the better receivers. They did make some portal moves where they brought in some guys from Ohio State. I believe they brought in a guy from Georgia, I want to say. But my whole point is here. I'd be worried. I'd be very, very worried. And I think that is the natural perception right now for Penn State is they're trying to take that next step. Drew Aller is trying to take that next step. And their offense just seemingly gets worse every single offseason.
I'm not going to say they get worse every single offseason.
Over the past two, they've gotten worse.
I can't debate that. I'm not going to say they've gotten worse. But the question becomes just in general. I'm going to go more on a broader scale when we talk about this. I just think as an offense, they have been not up to what they need to. Look, they're not going to be in top 10 consistently in recruiting. They can get there. But if Penn State wants to be serious about who they are, they got to start recruiting better. And they got, and I understand the limitations that you can have there, right? Like, I understand that there are limitations that you have. But the bottom line is that there's limitations everywhere in the country, right? Like, there's only a handful of programs, like I think Georgia. I don't think any team in Florida, because you have so many power four schools. I think LSU, Texas, because of how big it is. California with in USC. Mm-hmm. Those teams have innate advantages because of recruiting. Penn State does not have that. But the bottom line is, Joe, if they want to get better, they got to go start spending money. They can't be this ho-hum, oh, we're Penn State. Well, no, you better start showing up if you want to be serious about competing.
I have no idea who's going to enter the portal at the receiver position that will be worthwhile for them going after, but they're going to need to do some chasing. You know, they got to find a quick replacement. I do not know if the receiver room right now has the talented enough depth to just easily replace a guy that had 600 yards for you last year and has, I think, 1,700 career yards in his time at Penn State. He's a good deep threat. He's been productive, especially last year when they didn't have anybody. He was the best receiver. It could hurt them if they don't rebound effectively.
Oh, James Franklin. Let's see what he can do. You know, I'm not as down on James Franklin as you are necessarily, okay? But what I will say is, look, Joe, if he wins 10 games every year, I think at that place, I think that that's good. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it's great, but I think that it's good. Let's see how they do, and let's just see how they do through the season, but we'll discuss it here tonight. So not a lot of topics, but we got a lot to talk about here, as well as the portal will open up tomorrow, and I expect it to be full-on chaos. Nolan J says, Brady Cook or Jackson Dart this year had almost identical stats last year. Now, he's not lying. Joe, I did this to myself earlier. So, when I put in Jackson Dart, I was like, you know, because we talked earlier about how I was messing with you. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to put in Brady Cook. So, I was like, what did Brady Cook and Jackson Dart stats look like? Joe, the truth is, Nolan's not lying. If you did a blind resume and you have not looked at it, Joe, I guarantee you wouldn't know who it was.
Yeah, but you got to pull up the film, and one is far more physically gifted than the other.
Can't deny that.
Okay.
But what if I told you, okay, actually, I kind of somewhat remember them. You ready? Mm-hmm. What if I told you that both teams went 11-2, both kids threw for 3,200 yards with over 500 yards rushing and accumulated over 30 touchdowns?
That doesn't surprise me, because Brady Cook has the benefit of throwing to one of the best returning receivers in the country. In Luther,
I mean, are you not going to say the same thing for Dart? Because Trey Harris is a dog.
I don't think that Luther Burton's much higher up than Trey Harris. Trey Harris is a great receiver.
I don't deny that. I don't deny that at all.
Yeah.
But let's not act like Jackson Dart didn't have a better running game, right? And I mean, like, Jackson.
Well, his running game was a lot more inconsistent, because, I mean, you remember there were a lot of games where Jenkins got taken out of the game statistically.
Very true. But I do think that it's interesting. I will tell you, I don't have Brady Cook far off of this list. And I know you don't necessarily like him, but I do think that if there's an honorable mention, my two, in all honesty, when I was joking with you, my two would have been Weigman, Nussmeier, and Cook. I know all of them are in the SEC, but I look around the Big Ten, though, Joe, as an example, like, who am I going to put in there? Alex Orji? We have no idea who's at Nebraska. You know, like, I mean, there's just so many places that they were replacing quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And really and truthfully, Joe, if you were to do a top 10, you know who you would have had to have in there? Graham Mertz.
No.
Name 10 more better quarterbacks right now than him.
Brady Cook, Connor Weigman. I put Garrett Nussmeier in there before I put Graham Mertz in there. I'm not putting Graham Mertz on that list, right, but I wouldn't put him. Riley Leonard would be in there. No,
I could make an argument for Mertz over Riley Leonard.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I could. Joe, I don't know.
Riley Leonard got injured last year.
going to be fine.
You want to make a small wager?
No, I don't want to make a small wager, okay, but he's going to be fine.
All right.
He's got plenty of time to get healthy and be ready for the season. He'll be okay.
I think he's going to be ready for the season. I think he's going to take a step back running the football.
It's an ankle. It's not like he's coming back from a knee injury. It's an ankle.
Okay.
There's plenty of a timeline for his ankle to be fully recovered. He's going to be okay. He's going to be fine.
I just want to tell you, I talked to somebody today and a little birdie was chirping in my ear. They don't know.
He'll be okay.
What about DJU in your top 10?
I put him over Graham Mertz.
I wouldn't.
Hell yeah, I would. He's played way more games.
He hadn't been as consistent.
I think
Graham Mertz has gotten better, where DJU has stayed pretty stagnant.
I'd still put DJU ahead of Graham Mertz. Graham Mertz would be like 11 or 12.
Debatable. All right. We got lots to get into. See, I'm not going to yell at you today. My blood pressure is down. I had a massive migraine. I still kind of do, so I'm not going to try to yell. But if I do start yelling, I'm probably going to lose my mind. So we got lots to talk about here. Let's talk about our good friends over at betonline.ag. Guys, use that promo code BELIEVE50. The Yankees at 6:07 teed are through the first pitch. Joe, I do have it here in the studio. Shout out to Long Time. Do you want to say anything about the Long Time radio guy with the New York Yankees?
Oh my God, why am I blanking on his name?
Oh my God, Joe. How are you from New York?
I'm running on fumes here. What is his name? John Sterling. John, it is very sad to see that he is going to be stepping away. I mean, he's been around for so long. He is an incredible play-by-play. So that's tough that he's going to be stepping down.
Let's go. When are you going to take me to a Yankees game and stop being such a doofus?
I'm in California. I don't understand how you think that this works. It's easier and quicker for you to go there on your own than it is for me.
I don't want to go by my own. I want somebody who knows the city who could take me to a good pizza place. Okay. I want to go see the mafia. I want you to take me to the mafia. I want to go introduce myself. Like, hey, mafia.
That's not a thing. That's first of all, that's not a thing. And then second of all, when I move back, you can come up and visit me and we'll go to a game.
Okay. Thank you. Sounds good. All right. Let's get to it. Again, Believe 50. Use that 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag where the game starts. Don't go anywhere. We do give you our top five quarterbacks. We do that next. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV 50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag.
We're back!
Let's get this thing rolling, y'all. So, Joe, we have done our top five head coaches, our top five offense and defensive coordinators. Today, we go to the top five quarterbacks in college football. I will admit, when I was joking with you earlier, I did think I'd get a bigger response, but I wasn't surprised on Jackie Robinson Day that we were a lot like the same. Do you see that I did there? If you remember the great quote from Jackie Robinson on this fine day with Pee Wee Reese. So, Joe, let's go over to yours first. Let's go to your top 10 of quarterbacks in college football. Read them all for us.
So, at number one, I have Carson Beck from Georgia, which should not be a surprise to anybody. Number two, this is my hot take, Jackson Dart. Number two, Ole Miss. Number three, Dylan Gabriel from Oregon. Number four, Quinn Ewers from Texas. And then number five, Shedeur Sanders of Colorado.
All right, let me start off with this because let's get this out of the way. Let me first start off by saying I do not necessarily think Do you want me to come out first?
Yeah, you should show yours first, because we always do this. We start like we get really deep into the conversation. It's like, let's just show both of them, and then we'll start going back and forth.
Well, pretty much the same, Joe. I have Carson Beck number one, Dylan Gabriel number two, Shedeur Sanders number three, Jackson Dart number four, and Cam Ward of Miami at number five. Joe, I understand, and let me start off here. I understand why you have Quinn Ewers as a top five quarterback in the country. I don't necessarily disagree with you completely. I don't necessarily think it's a bad pick. Let me tell you why I wouldn't put him there. He's too injury prone. And I think when I look at Ewers, I think that they had a lot of success last year without him too. Joe, they won games without him. Now, they barely were winning, but at the same time, I don't know if he's more talented than any of those five that I had up there, and it's why I took him out. Joe, I don't think he's better than Cam Ward. I don't think that there's a planet. There's nothing that Quinn Ewers does better than Cam Ward. Nothing. He's not more accurate. He doesn't have a better arm. He's not more mobile. I don't think he's a better decision maker. And when I look at Quinn Ewers, I got to be real. I don't understand the hype. Now, I'm not saying the kid's a bad quarterback, okay? But, Joe, the bad decision-making tagged with the injuries and the inaccuracy, specifically in the playoff game too, Joe, against a not really good secondary, right? Like, I mean, it's not like he was going up against an elite secondary in Washington. By the way, Washington locked him down twice. So I just look at Quinn and say to myself, I can't – is he top 10? 100%. But I just, for me, he's not better than anybody on that list. Now, his team is going to have more success, but I just, for me, man, I cannot do it.
I couldn't disagree with you more. Look, I look at Quinn Ewers as the most physically gifted quarterback out of any of the guys that we have on this list. But because of some of the reasons that you brought up, I don't have him at number one or number two. Quinn Ewers, for a reason, was one of the highest graded quarterback recruits that we've ever had. On most recruiting services have had him graded that high. On top of that, most see him, project him as potentially the first overall pick in next year's draft. Now, I see what you say. I'm not bringing up the injury stuff. I don't think that injury stuff is necessary. And we have gotten into it with one another of if injury concerns are valid for talking and rankings. And we have both been on opposite sides of this discussion. So I'm removing it. He is incredibly inconsistent on the field. And we saw that in the Sugar Bowl, where the second half of the game, it was the version of Quinn Ewers that could win the Heisman Trophy. And the first half of the game was the dog shit bad version of Quinn Ewers, where he's not aggressive. He's not attacking the ball downfield. He's not trying to find and make plays. He's playing very passively. But that second half version is good enough for him to be the best quarterback in the country, because he's got the biggest arm. He's got the most natural throwing motion. He is just such a, when he is on and he is hot, he is the most dangerous quarterback in the country. The problem is he just doesn't do it consistently enough, which is why I placed him at number four.
We're going to have to disagree with it. The one thing I will give him, year one as a starter to last year, it was 58-something% completion percentage last year or 2 years ago. And then last year was around 69%. For me, though, I do got to equate, and I know that you don't, and we've had this debate, so let's not really hash into it. Basically, you don't think it should really. I think it should. That's basically our argument. I think you got to factor it in. Because, Joe, quite honestly, all right, when I look at him, I look at Alabama, all right? That was the game he came out, and I think it stamped that a lot of people thought that he was good. But, Joe, how many other games did he have that he was below average or below average? Like, I look at that Oklahoma game twice. I look at Joe, it's just for me. I don't think when he's on, he's the best quarterback. I still think that that's Carson Beck. And he's more Beck and a lot of these guys on here are more consistent. I mean, Joe, he threw 22 touchdown passes and 6 picks. I mean, what am I supposed to do with a guy that played 12 games and was 22-6? Now, he threw a lot of bubble screens. He did a lot. I thought Sark opened things up for him. I don't know if he is dynamic enough. And I don't know with guy now that Cam Ward has dudes around him, I don't know if Cam Ward's not going to be more explosive.
Cam Ward for me would be number six. And my only thing, well, actually, I'm going to wait for Cam Ward. I'm going to wait to get to him in a second. But to round out here with Quinn Ewers, I get this. I understand that it doesn't always show up. And again, like I'm describing him, the words I use make it sound like I have him at number one. I have him at number four. And the reason why I have him that low is because I'm recognizing that his ceiling is the highest. He just doesn't hit it consistently.
He doesn't have a higher ceiling than Carson Beck, Joe.
Yes, he does. Carson Beck's already right where he's going to get. He's maybe like a little bit below the ceiling of what he's capable of getting. He's already consistently accurate. He already makes all the right decisions. His arm's not bigger than Quinn Ewers. When Quinn Ewers is on, he is far more dangerous than any guy on this list. And I would argue maybe Cam Ward is in that conversation of just being more physically dangerous and hard. God, ESPN pisses me off so goddamn much when you pull up the chat and you're like looking at it. They play a fucking video in the middle of you talking. Like, Jesus, every time I do a show, this show, another show, stupid playable ads.
That's why you gotta mute it at the top. That's a rookie move by you.
To round out my point here, traits are all there. There are games where he's taken over, and I feel like
he's taken over.
Alabama.
He didn't take over that game.
Yes, he did. They won that game because he played his best game. That was his best performance.
That's not the reason they won the game.
Yes, it was.
Jalen Milroe was ass. That's why they won the game.
If it wasn't for some of the splash plays that he made, they wouldn't have won that game.
No, I disagree with that. By the way, just throwing that out, I'm throwing this out there. Oh, how so many forget. Jalen Milroe had two passing touchdowns called back, and Quinn Ewers came back and had a turnover. Remember that turnover that got reversed? Controversial play? Yes, he did. Joe, he's not good enough to be in your top five. And I think you look at his traits, but here's the thing for me too. You know why you ultimately, like, even if everything you said you was right, you know what would still make me skeptical about him? Joe, am I going to have him for all 15 games if it came down to it?
Okay, the first time that he got hurt was because of a late hit where he got driven into the ground by a dirty play from a player who is notoriously done shit like that. And then this past year, I mean, yes, he got banged up like a little bit and he was out for the one singular game, but like two games. I'm not super worried about his availability. He got the first season overblows it because of the circumstance of what happened. Look, all I'm saying with Quinn Ewers is that he is entering his third year as a starter. And a lot of times, third year starting is usually a time when guys take that next step. And if I'm banking on a guy that has all the tools to take that next step and everything for him to mentally click, and he's finally been around the program for long enough, he makes the most sense.
You're forgetting one big thing.
What?
He's going into a conference this year that he didn't play in last year. By the way, it's not like he's got a cakewalk schedule.
He still beat Alabama last year.
Joe, you know that the Alabama team that he played was not the Alabama team at the end of the year. Stop.
That version of Alabama is comparable to the middle to the back end of the SEC.
Can I tell you the truth? That was Nick Saban's worst team besides his first year.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, okay. But it's still light years better than the bottom half of the SEC, and he still beat them.
I never said Alabama. That they were going to lose to the back half of the SEC, but when you go up against the top dudes in this conference, Joe, let me put it like this: you can't have a sluggish day versus Kansas anymore. You can't have a sluggish day as a team versus Houston, because you know who Houston now has turned into? Kentucky. LSU, Georgia, shit, Arkansas, Texas A&M. You can't have, you know, and I know that all of those teams are better than Houston.
Obviously.
Okay.
Obviously.
So all I'm saying is if he has lackluster performances like he did at times last year, you're going to, I have a feeling you're going to come in here and say, Well, Quinn Ewers was the reason they lost the game. Well, no shit. He's playing better competition. So I get what you're saying on Alabama, even though I don't – I think you got to take that with context. So
– okay.
All right, what do you not like about mine? And why is it Shedeur Sanders that high?
Yeah, you know, let's talk about Shedeur Sanders. I think it's a little bit aggressive to go with Shedeur Sanders that high. I mean, I'll just keep it as simple as that. I think that Shedeur Sanders really showed us what he could be, especially when everything around him was so inconsistent. And the offensive line play was bad. There were so many hurdles that he had to overcome that I think he did a really good job of overcoming. But, like, come on, man. It's kind of hard to put a guy on that high on a list. I think it's fair to put him at like four or five, but number three feels a little high when he hasn't really won anything.
That's not necessarily true.
I mean, he didn't even win the Celebration Bowl. They lost that too.
But he still went stupid. It's not his fault that his defense sucked. We got to stop blaming quarterbacks for sucky defenses. Okay, like we can't do that. And by the way,
Cam Ward, had a super talented elite team around him.
He's still on mine, but you know what happened? Neither did Shedeur Sanders. But you know what Shedeur Sanders had bet more than Cam Ward? Less turnovers. By the way, with a worse roster. So, I mean, I have Cam Ward in my top five, so we'll get to him in a moment. Joe, you talk about traits all the time. I think that this kid from a football IQ is on a different level than most. You want to know why I put him above other quarterbacks? Even if they are around the same talent, even though I think he's got a good arm, I think he's mobile in the pocket, he makes just ridiculous throws. Joe, his football IQ is insane. And I, obviously, with his dad being who he is, it makes it insane. I like great decision makers. And I think that, like, Joe, remember the TCU game as an example. Remember that last drive. The decisions that he makes week in, week out, day in, day out, play in, play out, shows me that the kid has the ability. I got to be real with you. If you asked on off record, who would you want, Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart? I guarantee you that Lane would say Shedeur Sanders.
No, stop. Come on.
Joe, you.
All right, I'm not going there.
Joe, you better go back and watch Jackson Dart.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There have been multitudes of games where they have lost because he's made not just bad decisions, he's made horrific decisions. I'm talking about game crippling decisions. Let me give you one. You talked about Alabama earlier. Remember when they got a punt blocked and they got it at the one, right? And Alabama couldn't score and Ole Miss takes over and they got the ball going down the field and he throws a pick. Okay? Like every time that he is put in a nut-cutting situation, there's one thing that I know. Hold on. Jackson Dart is not going to make the play. Let me give you another one.
Can we finish with Shedeur Sanders first? Okay. I know. I understand. I want to make it easier for when we pick this. I want to get to Jackson Dart in a second. I just don't want to go back and forth.
But that is why, though, because of his high football IQ and his decision making, I put him above more. Now, I have Dylan Gabriel up there. Dylan Gabriel is not more talented than any of these dudes, but what does he do? From a college quarterback standpoint, Joe, we see this all the time. What do college quarterbacks do? When you are a really good decision maker, you make plays and your team wins. That is what Shedeur Sanders is. He's not going to always get fooled like some of these other guys because he's been around it his whole life. That's why I put him there. Now, I told you to start the show. He's got to shit or get off the pot for me too. This is very hit or miss. I am taking a big risk on this. I say big risk on this kid. I am taking a big risk because I think they take that next step up to what they can take. But, Joe, he quadrupled their wins from a year ago. They quadrupled their wins. And he was,
it's
by the way.
To say when you win one game.
Joe, this is Colorado we're talking about.
I know.
Okay? Like, I mean, he was what won them football games. Remember when we went to sleep and Colorado State was down by 20? He was the reason they won. He was legitimately the reason they won. So,
okay.
I don't give two shits. I don't get Josh Allen losing multiple games in Wyoming. When you're able to put a team on your back, regardless of who's around you, that's impressive.
So to just add in here, he's number five for me, so I'm not a Shedeur Sanders hater. I think that he has done enough to prove to me that he is going to be a successful NFL quarterback. And I agree with the one thing that you pointed out. That's the thing I love the most about him is I think that he might be the most, I'm trying to think of what I want to, the football IQ way of you phrasing it is
NFL
perfect.
Ready, but
no, that's not the way that I'm going. Actually, NFL ready is true, but he is not the most experienced, but rather the most cerebral for how much he understands and knows about the game. He is so easy and natural with the way that he approaches his decision-making. He's one of those guys where everything is melting down around him, and he still finds ways to make plays, deliver the ball in his hands of his playmakers. I'm curious to see how new offensive coordinator, how that situation's going to look, if that affects anything, but I do not think that it will because, again, he is a brilliant, brilliant decision-maker. His accuracy, I would argue, maybe is the best amongst these guys. I just, at a certain point when we're talking about a list like this, there's a couple of things that I point to. It's the traits, it's the statistical success, and it's your team's on-field success. I think that if they were at least 500 last year, a little bit over 500, I'd be with you. I'd be saying, put this guy at number three. And I know he got banged up.
That's unfair to him.
I understand that. I completely understand that. But I think that there are other quarterbacks in the country who deal with bad defense that doesn't support them. And it's not completely his fault that they're not able to win games. But at a certain point, I just don't feel good about putting a guy who was 4-8 last year higher than 5 or 4.
Where is he going in the draft next year?
At least top five.
Okay. So with that being said, okay, I'm not going to take away from him that Colorado is a dumpster fire and they're trying to figure things out. You know what else I'm not going to do? I'm also not going to put his dad's mistakes and what he does in the portal and how toxic things can be there because, I mean, Joe, he was throwing to freshmen. I mean, Omarion Miller was one of their top receivers. The kid I know for a fact because I saw him in high school, the kid at most is 165 pounds. I mean, talented young man, but he's having to here's what I think that he does more than that nobody gives him credit for. He elevates everybody around him.
Yeah, and I agree with that, and I support that claim completely.
And I just think that there are other quarterbacks on this list or in college football that you can't say that about.
Well, okay. I don't. Honestly, it is kind of stupid reasoning why I'm not willing to put him higher. But like the,
it is a stupid reason.
But do you understand where I'm coming from?
I do.
You even said it. It's very hit or miss with a guy like this. It's risky to rank him high because at a certain point, yes, he elevates everything around him. Yes, he helps improve the offense, and the reason why they succeed is because of him.
Can I tell you why I say I'm fidgety on him?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like his off the field stuff. I don't like the watches and like come get this and then you know I'm in a Bugatti, bitch. Like I don't like that stuff. Not for my quarterback.
I mean that stuff doesn't bother me that much. I don't really care. I mean
it does for me for only one position in football, only one,
quarterback.
Quarterback. I don't need that. You don't. You know what you need. You know what you want to. You know what you got to do to make your team lead. Our team have success, you got to lead by example. I will tell you one last thing about my thought about Shedeur Sanders. I'm reading a book from Drew Brees, okay? And they asked Drew about arm accuracy. He goes, I mean, arm strength. He goes, guys, I used to have a really big arm. Used to. Okay, after shoulder surgery, whatever. He goes, you want to know how I threw for 5,000 yards? Timing, accuracy. And I was smarter than everybody. That's why I put him there. Now, maybe because I'm reading that book, maybe I put Shador ahead because I'm being a little biased here, maybe to some extent, in the wrong way. But I'm not going to give the kid. I'm not going to put that bad team success all on him. Not when they gave up 800 yards in a game. Joe, they almost gave up 800 yards to Oregon.
I'm not putting it on him. It's just I'm just trying to point out where at a certain there is a certain number of wins that you kind of have to draw the line and say, okay, he is great. He is one of the best quarterbacks in the country, but like we gotta, you know, be a little bit restrictive here in a sense.
I understand that. I'm with you.
All right, what's the next guy you want to get to?
I mean, I guess we go to your number two, and that being Jackson Dart here, Joe. I got Jackson Dart in my top five, too. I have him at four. You have him at two. I would assume for Jackson Dart, you're projecting a little.
I am projecting a little bit, and I feel – I said this – I made this argument a second ago with Ewers. I think that it is such a important aspect for quarterback success. As we have seen over the past couple of years, the biggest risers are guys that have played the most games. Bo Nix, Michael Penix, Jaden Daniels are three of the best quarterbacks in the country this past year. Jackson Dart is in his third year at Ole Miss, playing in the offense. There's a familiarity between him and Lane Kiffin. I saw so many instances and plays where he stepped up to the plate and he looked phenomenal. I don't disagree with you that his decision-making has not been completely consistent. But I think as this whole roster is starting to build around him and how good I think the offensive line is going to be better, their defense
will be better.
Their defense doesn't really play into his success. But not in terms of where I'm going to rank a guy. I'm not going to rank a guy because of defensive success.
Well, no, but you're projecting because if they make more stops, he gets more possessions, he gets more yardage.
Sure.
Right? I mean,
I really, though, feel that if there is a surprise guy who takes this huge step forward in terms of the NFL draft, in terms of Heisman Trophy finalist, if there is the one guy where, like, how did he end up finishing this good? I have seen a tangible progression year to year, and I think that it is going to just continue to get better for him.
You know, we had a conversation about Jackson Dart. I had him in my top five last year. Do you remember that?
Don't remember that. I'm pretty sure I had him up that high too.
Maybe you did, but I just remember we both had him in our top five. I'm going to keep him at four. Let me tell you why. Joe, I don't think I don't know here. How do I want to say this? I don't disagree that he has the potential to say and do exactly what you said he can and could do. But I've seen him in prime time action when it is nut cutting time outside of LSU last year. He does not rise to the occasion. Joe, multiple times against Georgia, multiple times against Alabama, when they needed him to take over, he couldn't. And that has been a trend with him. He's in my top five. He legitimate. Like, so for example, guess who? I have Dylan Gabriel at number two. I saw Dylan Gabriel take over a game against Texas and win it. Like, I saw it with my own eyes. I saw him throw. I saw him run. Jackson Dart will not do that for you.
I disagree.
Joe, name a game that they were supposed to lose and he won. Name one.
My memory is not serving me today. No. Wait. But okay, wait. Hold on a second. Alabama game, the Georgia game, the games where he played like shit. We sat here and we talked about how Lane Kiffin shit his pants and laid an egg in his offensive decision making.
He made horrible
in-game play calling decisions.
Well, why do you think that the play calling changed?
No, come on, man. That it was so visible that Lane Kiffin was making bad decisions, and we sat here and criticized him and not Jackson Dart.
No, I criticized Jackson Dart. That's not true.
We were far more critical of Lane Kiffin's in-game play calling and decision-making.
That is also true, but I do think that two things can be true at once. Name a game that he was supposed to lose and that he came back, put the team on his back, and he won it.
My memory is not working today, so I'm not going to remember.
You're not going to be able to find one. Hey, where was he at against Tulane? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, they didn't have – didn't they not have –
I don't give two flying shits. It's Tulane. Tulane
beat USC the year prior. You got to give them a little bit more credit for
it. That's not an excuse.
I would argue the way that they stepped up against Texas A&M where he threw for 380 yards. That's a perfect example.
You were calling for Jimbo to be fired because of their ineptitude. You can't come in here and do that.
That was still one of the better, most talented defenses in the SEC last year.
Oh, they quit on him. By the way, do you remember when Jackson Dart got who was it? It might have been Walter Nolan. Didn't Walter Nolan cup check a guy? You remember that when Walter?
Yeah,
Nolan-
I do remember. I do remember that. Okay, so
teammates now.
I'm able to be assisted here by my memory not being great today. To remember the fact that he threw for 389 yards and four touchdowns against which team? Do you know which team that is?
LSU.
Yeah. That was the best game that he had all season. They weren't supposed to win that game.
They weren't supposed to lose that game. They were a favorite.
Bullshit.
No, they were. I promise you, they were a 3-point favorite going in.
Okay, they might have been okay, come on now,
Joe.
We both picked LSU to win that game.
Doesn't mean anything. We can be wrong. Doesn't mean that
is still again.
Are you going to put last year
scored and out-dueled the Heisman Trophy winner?
No, he did not.
He had 389 yards and four touchdowns and won the football game.
He didn't out-duel him. Go look at Jaden Daniels' stats, my man.
Okay, Jaden Daniels obviously probably had better.
He threw for 400 plus yards and ran for another 100. Stop the cap.
He still played his ass off in that game.
By the way, in that game, LSU gave up 300 yards of total rushing. So I don't want to hear that Jackson Dart just, he lit up a shitty defense. That's what he did. And the whole staff got fired. What happened?
I don't think it's fair to say, though, that Jackson Dart has
defenses that were worth the shit.
Texas A&M had one of the best defenses in the country last year, and he played his best game against them.
Okay, so one game. The other two that were worth the shit, he pissed down his leg a little.
I think that the lack of offensive success had more to do with Lane Kiffin's in-game decision-making than it did him.
Okay. If you say so. Anybody else we need to get to? We didn't talk about Dylan Gabriel. We hadn't talked about Carson Beck.
Let's talk about Dylan Gabriel. We've talked about Carson Beck enough times. I think Georgia fans, should be happy with the amount of times that we freaking have talked about that kid.
All right, Dylan Gabriel, go.
You mentioned the Texas game. That's one that sticks in my head. I think at the bare minimum, he has to be top three. He should be one of the favorites for the Heisman Trophy. He fits perfectly with the offensive scheme that he's stepping into, not to mention the fact that two of their offensive tackles return. A number of their receivers return. Oregon is going to be on a path and a track for massive success. And Dylan Gabriel, as I mentioned with Ewers, as I mentioned with Jackson Dart, experience matters when we're talking about these guys. And he fits the billing. Is he the most physically gifted out of any of these guys that we're talking about? Hell no. He is not even 6 feet tall. He's probably got the lightest arm out of any of these dudes, but he's the most accurate. He makes the quickest decisions. He gets the ball out really quickly and is pinpoint consistent. Dylan Gabriel is going to get better from the results that we saw last year.
He's a gamer.
Yeah.
He's just a gamer. I'm going to tell you something you're going to hate. You know what he is?
What?
He's a left-handed Stetson, brother. He's not going to eat. Huh?
I don't hate that.
Oh. He's a left-handed Stetson Bennett. Both are mobile more than you give them credit for. Look, and you talked about that Texas game. He took over that game from running the football. And by the way, that's a playoff team, right? Like, that is a bona fide playoff team that he put on his back and carried them. Here's the question. Can he do that against Ohio State? Can he do that against Michigan? Can he do that against these other opponents? Where I do think like, I think it's one thing, Joe, to do it against Texas, who had a 90-something passing yards allowed ranking last year. I think they were 97th, 98th. So it's not like their secondary was fantastic. But he did what he needed to do to win. And to be real with you, I'm gonna take a shot at Oklahoma here. Shame on you, Brent Venables, for letting him go. Jackson Arnold is probably not ready.
Yeah, that was unbelievably stupid for forcing that situation. Now, maybe you're throwing Jackson Arnold in his first season when you're joining the SEC. That is a brutal schedule. We've talked about it.
So, I mean, look, I have him at number two. Okay. And just for me, Joe, I think that he's just a gamer. He's not going to be an NFL guy. If he is, he's like Chase Daniels, and somebody wants him on there to be serviceable. And because he's such a smart football mind, that you keep him around an organization. That is his ceiling. He's hit his ceiling.
I think that's a good way to put it, too, is that if there's anybody that we're talking about today that has already reached their ceiling, it's him.
1,000%.
There is nothing more that he can bring to the table physically. I'm not trying to be sitting here and be critical of him. But I think that that serves him the best circumstantially, why you can't put him lower than three. There are times where we have seen that he has put the team on his back.
And Joe, you know what? Everywhere he's gone.
But you know what? And I'm sorry, I'm such a dick for doing this, but he is a great example of why I feel good about Jackson Dart, because Dylan Gabriel was good and he showed some nice things when he was at UCF but was really inconsistent, and then goes to Oklahoma, shows some nice things, but is really inconsistent. But you always kind of felt that if he and the offense took that next step, if everything came together around him a little bit better, he could really, really lunge forward and be one of the better quarterbacks in the country. And he did that last year. And because he's so experienced, we're now sitting here saying he's either second or he's third in the country. And I think that that is very applicable for a guy like Jackson Dart, where you see a lot of really nice things, but the play calling sometimes isn't always there. The offensive line sells him out like they did against Georgia, where he got his ass fucking pummeled because nobody was blocking for him. I just think that it is so important, and I love relying on guys and saying he's played a lot of football games, he's made flash plays, but it just hasn't always come together. Now that other guys have moved on, it's his turn to step up.
I fully agree with that. Can I give you a very, very hot take before we get to this Penn State thing?
Yeah.
I'm going to throw a quarterback in there who has started. How do I want to say this? I don't want to expose anything. I know that a lot of people, if I would say this name, are going to laugh at me. Joe, with Jeff Lebby and Blake Shapen.
Yeah, I'm going to laugh at you. That's dumb.
Hey, I'll bet my entire house they're going to be better than people are giving them credit for.
Sure. I mean, that they're going to be a little bit better than dog shit. Sure.
Okay. All right. Remember how I was getting those tingling feelings in my nipples last year about Missouri?
No. Because I agreed with you.
And I finished.
Go ahead.
I have that feeling about them upsetting a team that they're not supposed to beat.
You can't compare them to Missouri, though.
I think they can beat Ole Miss.
No.
Yeah, they can. Can I tell you why?
Absolutely not.
That game's going to be within – you mark my words right now. That game's going to be within 7 points. Don't underestimate Lebby.
No.
Okay.
I'm not even going to elaborate. No.
Okay.
The answer to that is no.
All right. Mississippi no. State Bulldogs, here they come. All right, you want to wrap this up really quickly with Cameron Ward?
Yeah.
All right.
What do you got?
Joe, I put Cam Ward at number five. Some people will say it's recency bias. It's not recency bias. You know what it is? He's got talent around him. So now that the kid does have things around him and he has a better offensive line, he's got better receivers, Joe, he's going to go stupid. He's going to go stupid. You said last year that if he would have gone on the draft, you didn't know if he wouldn't climb up into the first round.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that some people kind of scoffed at that But we're literally watching that happen with JJ McCarthy right now. Everybody watched the film and they're like, oh, look at all these traits.
He would have been, you know what he would have been? You would know what he would have been? He
would have been Jordan Love.
No, I was going to say it would be JJ McCarthy. The hype that McCarthy is getting right now, it would be going to Cam Ward.
I don't disagree with that. I think that it's so easy. I mean, we've said it a million times. We did it yesterday. We've talked about it a lot. He has entered the best situation. I would put him at six because I just want to be confirmed in the fact that he is going to land and he's going to hit the ground running and he's going to play well. I would get a little careful with him because sometimes I don't. Well, no. Well, that, and then sometimes knowing how like how completely bought in he is because of his back and forthness of entering and not entering and then entering the draft and then all that nonsense. If he's fully bought in and the team plays well and they rally around him, he is going to be at the podium at the end of the year. Like that's shouldn't be. He is so physically gifted, but there's a lot of things that need to happen before we can take that step.
It was Shamar Stewart. Thank you, Noel, for letting me know that. Noah Fifita getting some love in the chat here. Joe, what do you think of Noah Fifita?
I think he's a good player. I put him at like seven. I think that he's worthy of the conversation. I just don't. He's got 1 year as a starter. There's a new coach coming in. Jed Fish is a brilliant offensive
line. I'm not 1,000% positive, Joe, that tomorrow he doesn't hit the portal.
Wouldn't be shocked.
Who needs a quarterback?
Everyone. Auburn, Michigan, maybe Washington.
If he went to Auburn.
Oh, my God. It'd be unbelievable. That'd be a slam dunk.
Look, here's the thing that we do, and it's a Hugh Freeze effect. We ain't talking enough about Auburn.
Oh, we will be.
Because if they get Noah Fifita, ooh-wee.
No more Peyton Thorne. I'm tired of watching Peyton Thorne.
I feel bad for Peyton Thorne. Hey, how about this? Peyton Thorne, get this. Peyton Thorne, at this point last year, still was at Michigan State.
Well, that is why Wednesday's show is going to be pretty wild. Because
not only that, but what I'm saying is I don't think that he's good, but I will give a kid grace when, like, dude, you didn't the first play he ran, Joe, he had 3 weeks to get ready for a season. That's not fair to him.
Oh, wait, he had a little more than that. He didn't enter that. It was June.
They can't hit the field until August, bud. Oh, and by the way.
No, I understand. I thought you were implying he entered that late.
By the way, when you transfer in, this is what people don't know about the portal, too. If you're a transfer and you're coming into the summer, you have limited hours that you can be in the facility per, like, some credit things and stupid other things. Like, he didn't throw a football until August with his guys. I'm just saying. I'll give him – I don't think he's any good. I'm just going to give the kid a little grace. That's tough to get in there.
Okay.
All right. You want to get to this Penn State thing?
Yeah.
All right, Joe. So Penn State football has a little bit of an issue. Keandre Lambert-Smith is no longer going to be with the program, which begs the question, are the Nittany Lions in a little bit of trouble when it comes to playmaker on the outside or playmaker in general?
This is the concern that we had last year. A lot of their offensive production came from the tight end position. And it does help that they're returning Tyler Warren. They lose Theo Johnson to the NFL draft, who I want to say was the leading tight end, but still he was productive for a ton of yards last year. The fact that they're losing their best deep threat is a serious problem for me. They did go and add Julian Fleming from Ohio State, which is important, but he is somebody who isn't necessarily completely actualized any of his talent. I just think that for what we talked about the whole time last year, everything that we mentioned and discussed was they need to go get receivers. And they didn't really go get anybody premier. They did bring some talent in, but now they're losing one of their premier guys. That's a huge problem for them. The same question that we had last offseason now comes back up. And I wouldn't feel very confident about them taking any step forward.
All right. You're going to have to clip this and then clip back my reaction. All right. Okay. Go ahead, Sean. Ben got his baseball T-ball jersey.
Is he LeBron?
He is number six.
Is that why he got it?
Yeah. All right, go on, boy. Tell Mr. Joe bye. Okay. Bye. He said, I gotta show up my new jersey, Dad. All right, go on. Close the door. All right. I agree with you in reference to, so we've had this conversation before in reference to Penn State and them having weapons. Joe, I took the bait last year. I'm not taking it again. I think they're gonna be serviceable. I think they can get 9 to 10 wins. I think they'll be good on defense. I mean, they recruit well, develop well. Joe, I'm going to give a comparison. You're going to hate it. Buddy, I think that there's a lot of Notre Dame in them in a lot of ways.
I do hate that because I think that Notre Dame has recruited much better than Penn State has. They're not comparable.
They had the same number of wins damn near. And the
James Franklin's been there for what, a decade? Marcus Freeman's been there for 2 years.
The last 5 years. And they do. I mean, and they're in a tougher conference, and Notre Dame's not. They don't play Stanford every week. I mean, I'm not trying to be rude, but they don't.
No. Their schedules are not, their difficulty are not that far off.
Okay, whatever. Yes, they is. But I might not use the Notre Dame comparison. Here's another one. The last 3 years, you know what they compare to from a wide receiver room? Clemson.
That's a much better one.
No,
that I agree with.
You like it because it's not Notre Dame. But they just don't have the weapons on the outside to win their conference. Joe, when they won the conference, who did they have? Wasn't it like Saquon and the boys?
Saquon and I want to say at receiver. Oh, my God. Who did they have at receiver?
I don't remember. But it was like wasn't Sean Clifford the quarterback?
No, I think it was Trace McSorley.
Or Trace McSorley. Even another thing, playmakers. They don't have them right now.
It's going to bother me. But you're absolutely right. They actually have had a string of success of like producing some pretty talented receivers. You know, Chris Godwin's like one of the first guys that comes up when we talk about this. Allen Robinson. But they haven't had a guy like that.
Right. No. Here's another thing that comes into question. Are they unable to get those guys because there's not an NIL base there?
No, they've got – I mean, they're fine NIL-wise. I just don't think that it's a very –
Hold on now. Being fine and getting dudes that you need to get there to win and be the team that you need to be.
They've got a very rich alumni base. I'm not worried about their NIL situation, nor do I know enough about – I don't know enough about their NIL stuff for us to really comment on it.
Okay, well,
do you know enough about it?
No, but Joe, the teams that are spending the most money and the teams that are up in the upper tenths of spending money in NIL, you know who they are. They're the top 10 in recruiting right now. Penn State used to be in there before NIL was a thing. Joe, they've taken a step back in recruiting. And that's got to be – there has to be a correlation of NIL being a thing and them taking a step back from getting playmakers. I mean, it's got to be. I'm not crazy with that.
I mean, I just don't think that – I don't think that they've always really – they've been good in recruiting. They've been more in that 10 to 20 range. They've had a couple premier years, but, like, they're still there. They still recruit well. They just
– doesn't that sound like Notre Dame?
I just don't think that they evaluate those positions well. And I think that they've done a really bad job of offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, you know, the receivers coach just don't do a very good job of identifying the right talent. I think that that's more the problem, and it needs to be pointed at the coaching staff, not at the recruiting efforts.
They will not have offensive success until James Franklin gets his hands out of it.
Yeah.
Bottom line. So, all right. Crazy day going on tomorrow. The portal opens.
Oh, man, it's going to be a mess.
We'll see you on Wednesday with a lot of crazy portal talk. Until then, I'm Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is Rhode Island Football Zone, Joe DeLeon. Good evening, good sir. See you later.
Later.
Y'all have a good one. Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.